From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Friday, April 3rd. I'm Abby Lurico. St. Louis Public Radio has obtained new documents that show why tornado debris still isn't cleaned up 10 months after the storm. That's even as city leaders acknowledge the delay.
I know this recovery has been slow.
What we've learned about the holdups coming up after this news on The Gateway. St. Louis Mayor Kara Spencer says she's asked local leaders to consider merging city and county resources to better prepare for natural disasters. In a press conference Thursday morning, Spencer said unifying the city and county emergency management agencies would help them better coordinate.
The St. Louis region needs to come together on a whole host of fronts, but emergency response is absolutely one of them. We should absolutely have some of that framework in place.
City officials say they're in a better position today to respond to severe weather with more sirens in place and more local partnerships. But the city's emergency management agency remains underfunded since last year's deadly tornado. It's unclear if the agency will get the money it needs as the city heads into a tight budget year. Nearly 40 fire protection and EMS districts in St. Louis, St. Charles, and Jefferson counties are hoping to use sales taxes to fund their services. The ballot issues are the results of two state law changes approved last year. One allows more counties to use sales taxes for emergency services. The other lifts the cap on the levy from 0.5% to 1%. Garrett Ryan is the political director for the union that represents most fire and EMS workers in the St. Louis region. He says the measures will spread the burden of paying for emergency services across a larger group of people.
Anything they can bring in sales taxes will reduce property taxes by some amount. And the nice part about it is that now our visitors are helping to pay for the services they already use.
State law requires districts that collect emergency services sales taxes to cut property tax rates. But Amy Bluen with the Missouri Budget Project says that doesn't change the fact that sales taxes are regressive.
If sales taxes increase because property taxes have gone down, that just shifts the burden of who's paying to those with middle incomes and lower incomes.
Early voting is already underway. The polls open on Election Day at 6 a.m. Tuesday. Black St. Louisans are still exposed to more environmental hazards than white St. Louisans. That's according to Washington University's recent environmental racism report. It includes recommendations to address vacancy, air pollution, and illegal dumping. As St. Louis Public Radio's Andrea Henderson details, one organization that's working to reduce air pollution says its reach is limited without local and state support.
Metropolitan Congregations United has been monitoring St. Louis air quality in recent years to address health concerns in the area. Some issues that are top of mind for them are the poor asthma outcomes and the harm lead and mold are doing to Black St. Louisans. DeMarco Davison is MCU's executive director. He says tackling the issues in the WashU report without enough resources is overwhelming.
Some of these issues are older and bigger than a few community leaders can actually handle. This is where infrastructure kicks in. We're now talking about foundational principles and concepts of how we're going to exist together.
Davison says local corporations should also be held accountable for their role in increased health disparities. I'm Andrea Henderson, St. Louis Public Radio.
It was a busy day at the State House yesterday. The Missouri legislature has passed a bill that would largely ban intoxicating hemp products. The House voted 126-23 yesterday to pass the legislation. The vote came only days after the Senate passed it as well, which means the bill now goes to Governor Mike Kehoe. As STLPR Sarah Kellogg reports, both Democrats and Republicans voted for the legislation.
Under the bill, all intoxicating hemp products, including THC seltzers and hemp-derived THC edibles, would be banned from sale everywhere except marijuana dispensaries. The legislation also restricts the purchasing of intoxicating hemp products to only those 21 and older. Most House Democrats voted for the legislation, including House Minority Leader Ashley Awney. She spoke in favor of the changes the Senate made to the bill.
I think that the privacy measures and the worker protection measures make this a better bill, and I encourage the body to support it.
One of the Senate changes bars marijuana dispensaries from retaining a customer's identifying information unless the customer opts in. The Senate also added an amendment giving bargaining rights to those in the marijuana industry. In Jefferson City, I'm Sarah Kellogg, St. Louis Public Radio.
Now to several more items passed in the House that are now going to the Missouri Senate. The House passed harsher penalties for those who are convicted of drunk driving. Members voted 141-5 to pass the bill. The legislation shifts several offenses on driving while intoxicated one felony class higher. That includes injuring, severely injuring, and killing someone while driving drunk. Someone convicted of killing someone while driving intoxicated would also have to serve 5 years in prison before being eligible for probation or parole. If someone killed more than one person, they would have to serve at least 10 years. The House has passed a trio of tax credits aimed at increasing childcare availability in the state. Members voted 97-44 to pass the tax credits, which have died in the Senate in years past. Supporters of the bill stress the need for greater childcare access in Missouri, while some detractors worry about how much it'll cost the state. One provision allows for a tax credit for contributions to a childcare provider in an amount of 75% of the contribution. Republican Representative Brenda Shields of St. Joseph is the sponsor of the bill.
This is a child care legislation that will create affordable, reliable, quality, and safe child care for working families in our state. It is one of the top issues that I hear from my constituents and from the business community.
The other two tax credits are more centered on businesses, including child care facilities. The House wants to allow churches to stay open in the case of another pandemic. STLPR's Lily Halloran reports on this legislation.
The House voted 104-38 to advance a bill that will keep the state and municipalities from restricting religious services in the event of another dangerous disease like COVID-19. Proponents say isolating Missourians from their church communities during the pandemic harmed their mental health. St. Louis Democratic Representative Lakeisha Bosley and others who voted no say it's important to prioritize public health.
You don't have to be in a physical location whether there is a virus going on outside or not to praise and worship God.
The legislation allows evacuation orders for terrorist attack or natural disaster. In Jefferson City, I'm Lily Halloran, St. Louis Public Radio.
It could soon be harder for scammers to get through to Missourians over the phone. The House passed legislation 128-17 that requires cell phone service providers block certain calls, including from numbers outside the U.S. and numbers that are not registered. It would also remove the requirement that Missourians add themselves to the no-call list again every year. Republican Representative Mike Costlow is the bill sponsor.
You'll hear me talk a lot in this chamber about how legislation lags behind technology. This is another instance where technology has moved forward and we need to update the statutes.
The bill also creates the crime of spoofing, which happens when callers falsely identify themselves with the intent to deceive someone. The Missouri House saw its first failed bill of the session yesterday. Republican Representative Josh Hulbert's legislation would have expanded a program allowing Missourians who've dropped out of high school to get their diplomas virtually. Much of the opposition came from a provision that would have taken up to $4 million from the state's K-12 education budget, which opponents say is already underfunded. They say it isn't necessary because the state has other options for adults to finish high school that are cheaper and use federal funding. It failed on a 55-95 vote. You can find much more coverage from our hardworking team of Missouri State House reporters at stlpr.org. A recent study quantifies the economic value that Scott Air Force Base brings to the Metro East. It's nearly $13 billion each year. STLPR's Will Bauer reports.
Commissioned by the Leadership Council of Southwest Illinois, the new study provides a fresh look at what the Metro East base provides the regional economy. The Local Development Group's last study was done in 2010 and calculated an economic impact of $3.2 billion. Among others, this study examines the wages of the roughly 9,000 people employed at the base, how they spend their money in the surrounding communities, housing allowances, and the other industry the base supports. A board member and the executive director wrote in the report that the base is a major economic driver in the region, and they hope the report will spark further collaboration to ensure its success. I'm Will Bauer, St. Louis Public Radio.
Test flights beginning this month will have drones transporting medical samples and medication. And as STLPR's Jonathan All reports, the Rolla-based delivery service is already aiming to expand.
The Missouri Rural Healthcare Drone Project wants to use drones to transport blood and tissue samples needed to assess organ donations. Medical leaders that set up the corridor between Springfield and St. Louis are already looking to additional uses for the technology. Lori Worthington is with the Joplin Regional Alliance for Healthcare. She says drones could be used to help transport medicine to rural areas.
Imagine instead of them having to travel in 2 or 3 hours, sometimes more than that, to get to the cancer center, that we can fly those medications out. They can be administered at their primary care office.
The project is a collaboration between Valkyrie UAS Solutions, Missouri S&T, and MidAmerica Transplant. In Rolla, I'm Jonathan Aul, St. Louis Public Radio.
Keep podcasts like The Gateway thriving by becoming a member of St. Louis Public Radio today. Your support ensures that your community stays informed and has access to fact-based local news. Give now at stlpr.org.
Late last month, St. Louis finally started demolishing tornado-damaged homes. That was 10 months after the deadly storm. St. Louis Public Radio's Kate Grumke reports on why it's taken so long just to get started.
A demolition crew is wetting down a tornado-damaged house to control dust as their equipment rips into the brick building in the Academy Sherman Park neighborhood. Neighbor June Lipscomb has been waiting for this.
And every time, you know, I pull up, I gotta look at this, I'm like, man, I'm hoping this house is on the list to get torn down. I'm hoping it gets torn down, and, you know, it finally came.
The demo is a test case for a new phase of St. Louis's recovery. City officials say they're finally ramping up the work that will be most visible for residents. The city started with just 2 houses, a small fraction of the estimated 1,700 homes that need to come down. St. Louis Public Radio obtained documents that show why this has taken so long. The work was stalled for almost a year as St. Louis officials waited for clear marching orders from federal and state partners, and as the Federal Emergency Management Agency denied assistance that would have sped up the process significantly. It's laid out in months of communication among St. Louis, FEMA, and the state that were focused on debris on private property. But who is the most at fault for the delays is less clear. Each party at times spent weeks and sometimes months before responding or taking necessary action.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Mayor.
We have some great news today.
On September 18th, St. Louis Mayor Kara Spencer was really excited. Governor Mike Kehoe had just announced Missouri would be in charge of private property debris removal, and FEMA would pay for 75% of it. At the time, she said it was a win. But recently, Spencer told STLPR it was also disappointing.
It was our hope through that time to have the Army Corps of Engineers run that project. And that's part of the reason why we didn't get that work project going.
By then, 4 months had passed since the tornado. At the time, Spencer thought the state would speed up the process.
So I do think we're going to see some movement here in the coming weeks.
But that wasn't the case. FEMA didn't lay out what the project would include until November. And the State Emergency Management Agency didn't put out a request for proposals to do the work until January. 2 months later, the state finalized contractors, but that work still hasn't begun. For months, St. Louis officials also didn't know what would be on the city's plate. That was important, says St. Louis's Chief Recovery Officer Julian Nix.
For us, we only want to use state dollars and city dollars where FEMA dollars won't come into play.
The state, FEMA, and the city went back and forth over what FEMA would cover for almost 3 months before FEMA told the city it wouldn't cover the majority of demolitions. So that's how we got here, 10 months later, with just a few homes being demolished on the city's end of things and none on the state's. The long wait for work to start has led to major frustrations in the tornado zone. At a March recovery meeting at the O'Fallon Park Recreation Complex, hundreds of people showed up looking for information and help. Spencer addressed the crowd.
I know this recovery has been slow.
But she said now that temperatures are warming up and marching orders are clear, progress will be visible. But she hesitated to make a clear promise on timing.
Where are we going to be in 2 months when we hit the one-year mark of the tornado? We're going to see some progress, much more progress starting.
For many in the tornado zone, it can't come fast enough. I'm Kate Grumke, St. Louis Public Radio.
Check out a full timeline of the delays at stlpr.org. That piece was edited by our Jessica Rogan. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, thanks so much for listening to The Gateway. Have a great weekend.